So, hello, welcome back to another episode of the Self Development with Tactics podcast. Today, as you maybe can see, there's not going to be a video. Maybe there's going to be something like a lyrics type of video thing, really depending on how well it works and how sensical this might be. Maybe it is, but yeah. I have seen quite lately that back in the days I've went through a website that's called ideas.ted.com actually quite a bit, and by the way, let me close my WhatsApp, which is all around various ideas, as the name might suggest, you know. For example, a smart way to handle anxiety, courtesy of soccer great Lionel Messi. Feeling unseen by your boss, here is what you can do. Let's stop calling them soft skills and call them real skills instead. And maybe something from a completely different one. Here's how you can handle stress like a lion and not a gazelle, which was from the science section. The other two were from we humans and business, respectively. So there's a few, you know, different kind of categories, sections, topics, and whatever. Tech, business, art and design, science, and we humans, whatever we humans might actually be all about. Anyway, I think that I want to go through something science related. I do not know. Maybe actually, here's how you can handle stress like a lion and not a gazelle by Elissa Apple, EPELPH. D. And there is a beautiful illustration by Joseph Carignan. Health psychologist Elissa Apple, PhD, writes, "I've been studying stress for 30 years. Living in this era of prolonged personal pandemic and global stress has become very challenging. Many of us live with high level of daily stress, and this can become a habit and even last a lifetime. But we don't have to live that way. This is why I wrote my book, The Stress Prescription. It offers many ways to have a positive relationship with stress and to add stress buffers into the fabric of your daily lifestyle." There's actually some sort of a, well, I would say German saying that's like you're only creating your own stress, you know? Meaning there is actually no outside stress, you know? Whatever stress that we're having is because we are maybe incapable of rearranging and or timing things or arranging things in the proper way, which may or may not be true. Picture a lion hunting a gazelle, mercilessly running her down. The gazelle is terrified and in fight or flight mode, sprinting for her life. The lion is exhilarated. Exhilarated, I guess, I don't know. Anticipating her hard thought meal as she closes the gap. Which animal is experiencing stress, the lion or the gazelle? I would actually say both, and yes, the answer is indeed both. Since the lion wants to have food and might not be able to get it, and well, the gazelle might die. Both nervous systems are highly activated and undergoing physical, I'm sorry, psychological changes that can't control. They can't control. Yet they're experiencing stress arousal in two very different ways. The gazelle is locked in a threat response. Meanwhile, the lion is having a challenge response. There's actually some, well, might be actually interesting. So the threat response apparently is she is full of fear, cursing with adrenaline. Her blood flow is constricted because her vessels have narrowed, vasoconstriction, or vaso, probably. To prevent excessive bleeding, less oxygen makes it to the brain as psychological resources, I'm sorry, physiological resources are directed to the limbs. Her body has become a machine with only one purpose, to outrun the predator. Meanwhile, the lion, her heart is pumping volumes of blood efficiently, allowing her maximal speed and anticipating the meals she's about to have. Her next meal. So there's a lesson here for us humans. Most of us are not regularly being chased by life-threatening lions, but our bodies are behaving as though we are. Too often responding to the stresses that pop up over the course of a day as though They are a serious a survival threat to fight off or run from, rather than a meal to take down. Our bodies shoot into fight or flight mode, dumping cortisol and adrenaline into our bloodstream, rocketing and our nervous system into a state of fear and vigilance. And when that response happens full blown, our even or even half, I'm sorry, blown, which each stressful or unexpected event that comes along, our bodies no longer know how to calm down from the stress. So why do some people stew in a soup of stress daily, overreacting to small things, while others let big threatening events bounce off them as if they had a shield around them? Without actually reading it, I guess it's all about one is viewing things. Apparently. Maybe even obviously. Since, I mean, the story is about two perspectives, and we actually can choose either one of them. So we can either be the lion or we can be the gazelle. You know, either we are running away from things, either we are, you know, maybe trying to do some things that might not be smart to do, or might not, you know, one might not actually be able to do. On one hand, on the other hand, one might see opportunities and one might see the positive things in life in terms of, well, yeah, opportunities and things to do rather than things not to do, which is actually kind of the same thing, but is a completely different perspective, you know? Either something is, you know, on one hand, something is happening to me, and on the other hand, I do something, I take action. Might be tied into the whole growth mindset thing, you know, where you're focusing on things you, on one hand, can control, and, you know, being aware of the fluidity of things. Intelligence, for example, you know, we are not born with 200 IQ points. But we develop it throughout the years. And so it is not something fixed. You know, it is something that is still fluent, something that we can change, something that will change. And as many things just change and as many things just alter throughout our lifetime and also just throughout time. Your body, your soul, and whatever. Quite recently, I am again listening a bit more to Shiheng Yi, whom you might know. I do have a problem a bit with like the not overexposure, but you know, his amazing speeches, his amazing character is being used for like this classic self-help motivational type of shit, which I think is really not. It is, well, his speeches are a bit about that, you know. Don't want to say that it is completely out of place. This is not what I am thinking about, but rather that it, you know, they're overdoing it, you know. He's having some really amazing points that stem from, on one hand, experience, I would say, and then on the other hand, well, just the way that he is living and that he's also teaching, probably, you know, might be also some Buddhist teachings incorporated into what he is talking about. Probably the case, I don't know for sure though. So, it is really interesting to see and interesting to think about, and it's actually kind of clear that I can choose certain things, you know? I can choose what I am saying. I can choose what I am doing. And I can also choose how I'm feeling, you know, whether I'm stressed or not. There is some, well, indirectly on one hand, but directly also on the other hand, because emotions are most often a reaction to something that is happening. And we're still having a bit of time in between something happening and our response. And in this period of time, we can actually choose what we're saying and what we're doing and what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and whatever it is, like a really split second of time that this is happening. Might actually be Viktor Frankl that was talking about that as well. There might be some amazing quote, which is, by the way, also a great example. Living and or let's say withstanding a concentration camp is a completely different breed. Being able to survive that, being able to get through that fucking experience is actually insane, and nothing somebody wants actually to do. And I'm glad that even though some countries there still might be some working camps, I'd say. These times have passed by, fortunately. But still, it just underlines that we can do things and we can choose, and we do have power, and we can alter the way we think, we can alter the way we feel. Nothing is fixed, which on one hand is good, on the other hand is bad, because, well, you'll also be able to lose things, as I have lost, quote unquote, lost a substantial, well, some amount of my English skills, because I've not been talking as much, I've not been recording as much, I've not been reading as much, and things are fluid, in a good way and also in a negative way, quote unquote, negative way. But yeah. With that being said, I hope that you have enjoyed this rather old school, non-video type-ish thing, and I'm hopefully gonna see you the next time. So, bye bye.